www.bibleunity.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Oh, come on, a little more life than just Thomas there. Good morning, everyone. Once more with feeling. Been waiting all series to do that. Just kidding. I just thought of that right now. I probably should have done that a bunch of times. Anyhow, we are in this series. We're actually ending the series today called Once More with Feeling. And the expression is used typically in performing arts, whether it's a musical, a play, or with an orchestra, a musician, that sort of thing. And it's an expression that typically is telling the person to play with more heart. Rather than just going through the motions and getting through, play it like the piece should be played. Play it with heart, regardless of how you feel about it. So play it with passion. So that's the idea behind Once More with Feeling. Now, there's a lot of different areas of our life where things become really routine and mundane, and we lose our passion, we lose our excitement. That can be true in spiritual areas as well, even though we know that they're really important. So in worship, like we talked about last week, that can become routine or mundane. In serving, in giving, in going to church, in that small group or men's group or women's group, in our prayer life, in our scripture life, our devotional life. Sometimes we'll fight through those things, and you know, ultimately we kind of see some passion restored, some excitement restored for it once again, but a lot of times it's really easy just to let them drift away, and pretty soon they become, well, not part of the picture anymore. I was thinking about that concept when I was also thinking about this particular parable. And we're going to look at the parable. It'll be up on the screens here because we're going to look at a couple of passages this morning. You can try and turn there, but we'll probably be through it by the time you turn there. So one of the most well-known parables in Scripture, the story of the seed and the sower. And we'll just look at the parable first here, Luke 8, starting in verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to see him, to see Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said, as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears, let him hear. So Jesus goes on to explain that in this parable, the seed that's being sown is the Word of God. Now, we read that through our current modern view, and we typically think, oh, that's talking about the Scripture, right? The Bible. But remember, Jesus didn't have the Bible that we have in those days. He did have the Old Testament, and there were the Scriptures. But we also need to remember that the Word of God made flesh was Jesus himself. So he's not just talking about the Scriptures in the Old Testament. The seed that's scattered everywhere is the seed of God's word is Jesus. And yes, the enemy attacks and life gets hard and the cares of this world can pull us away from him. Only the seed that's sown in the good soil is going to grow and produce fruit. Now, if we want our relationship with Jesus to grow truly deep, we've got to have We need to be good soil, right? Like we need a receptive heart if we want to see the fruit in our lives. But here's what I was thinking about as I was reading this passage once again is good soil really isn't enough. If I took a seed and I put it in some good soil, but it never got sunlight and it never got water, what would happen? Nothing. Right? Nothing would happen. No roots would grow, no stem. Now, those who really know plants would go, well, what about this particular kind that grows in the... Yeah, not take that example out, okay? All right? It wouldn't grow roots. The stem would never emerge. No leaves would sprout, no flowers would blossom, and there'd be no fruit. Even the very best soil, it needs both sunlight, and water to stay fertile. If you think about that, if you've got soil that only gets water and no sun, you pretty much got mud. And if you've got soil that only gets sun and no water, you've got this dry, cracked, parched land. Neither of those are real conducive to growth. And I think that's true in our spiritual lives as well. Good soil, a receptive heart, isn't going to be enough. We need to give our relationships sunlight and water so it can grow. And you can think of that sunlight and that water as prayer and scripture. We're going to need a steady diet of those things in our life if we want a healthy relationship with Jesus, if we want that seed to turn into fruit and see God bring that about. Without them, we're going to just end up with a seed that never emerges from the soil. Right? Now, I know most of you, and I could say this fairly confidently, you're good soil, right? You are good soil. You have hearts that are receptive to Jesus. But a number of people have talked with me and have heard this in conversation recently about how we're kind of in that dry spell spiritually. The devotion life isn't quite what we'd like it to be, or maybe like we feel it should be. It's grown a bit stagnant. Now, you can go without sunlight for a while. You can go without water for a while, but you can't go without them for long, or the soil won't stay good. Same thing goes in our devotion life. We need scripture and prayer. With going without scripture for a while, we can do that. Going without prayer for a while, we can do that. But if we continue to go down that path, it's going to affect the condition of our heart. And so this morning, I want to talk about our devotional life. That's kind of what we're focusing in on. And when I say that, I mean like prayer and scripture. But we're going to focus in this morning on prayer. And the reason we're going to focus in on prayer is because as your pastor, I'd prefer to focus in on scripture. And if, you know, we do dig a lot into scripture here as we're going through things. And worship and those things are very important. Scripture for me is kind of like that go-to. I go there first and then, oh yeah, and then prayer is kind of after that. Just in my own life. It's kind of the way that I operate. And guess what? That spills over into what we do on Sunday. So it's kind of on my heart to let's go the other direction, right? Let's talk about prayer, okay, when it comes to our devotion life. So this morning is once more with feeling prayer, right? Now, I'm going to do something that might feel a little bit awkward, but right now we're going to take just a couple of minutes and we're going to spend some time in just silent prayer. Like, this is silent prayer, just time with you and God. I'm not going to tell you how to use that, what to pray about, or anything like that. But we're just going to spend some time in prayer. We'll have some music playing in the background just so it isn't too strangely awkward. But I want to give you a couple minutes just to take time to pray. All right, as we kind of wrap up that time, I want to ask you a few questions, and I want to take some answers. And I've asked Tara if she'll come up and be our scribe and jot them down for us here. Now, if you are like a professional prayer person and you rock the party when it comes to prayer, you may want to hold off on some of your answers for this one. But if you could give me a word or two, I don't need to know what you are praying about, but if I could get a word or two or a brief phrase that just describes, how did that prayer time go for you, right? Like, what were your struggles? What were the things that were good? How did you feel doing it? That sort of thing, okay? So, yes. My mind was all over the place. Like, I'll put that one down for me. I knew this moment was coming, and my mind was all over the place. It was hard to be quiet, okay? What are some other things that you guys experienced? Come on, you can just blurt them out. Squirrel. Yep. Attention was a difficulty, right? Paying attention or staying focused. Some other thoughts? Strength. Okay. Blessings. Peace. Gratitude. Sorry. Adoration. Permission to pray. Privilege to pray. Privilege to pray. Well, and even in a church, sometimes like prayer is like, wow, it's kind of sparse, right? It doesn't happen all that often. Maybe we don't do it all that often. Tell me a little bit more about some of the things that you struggled with, okay? So the good things, that's great, but what were some of the things that were hard, either in your spirit, in your heart, as this was going on to do? Yeah. Admitting your mistakes, that's tough, right? It's spewing, listening versus you just kind of spitting things out, sure. To-do list. Sure. You find yourself thinking about all the things that you have to do and your mind kind of wanders in that direction. Is that, yeah? Okay. All right.
Am I doing this right?
Well, the music was great, so you did great on that part, right, Rachel? Any other thoughts, struggles, difficulties, things? Trying not to sound arrogant in your prayer? Can you, like, just in your own language or in your heart? Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, sure. Yep. Okay, any last thoughts? Come on, spin them out there. Am I praying for the right reasons? Sure. Okay. Coming humbly. All right, I want you to keep in mind some of these thoughts. We're going to come back to this in a moment. Thanks, Tara, for writing those things down. We'll come back to that in just a couple of minutes, okay? So as we talk about prayer this morning, or as I talk, anyway, about prayer this morning, just a couple of things that I want to share with you. Two main thoughts, okay? The first thing is this. This is kind of a little bit of a two-parter, but as we talk about prayer, your primary relationship to God is as his child, okay? Your primary relationship to God is as his child. That's who you are first and foremost. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, Scripture tells us you're brought into his family. Like, you're as his adopted sons and daughters. You're his children. You are his child. Now, that's significant because we tend to think of ourselves, I think, sometimes in different capacities, you know, but we're first and foremost a child of God. We're not first and foremost his followers. We're not first and foremost his disciples. We're not his servants. We're not his slaves. We're not his minions, right? So, I mean, we are those, well, we're not minions, but we are those other things, but that's not first and foremost who we are. Our primary relationship to God is as his child. Paul, when he was writing in 2 Corinthians, he kind of paraphrased some Old Testament scripture passages from different places, and he kind of combined it into this. And verse 16 and verse 18 says this, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And verse 18 says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me. Our primary relationship to God is as his child. Jesus, when he was talking with the disciples in Matthew 18, he says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, think about what a relationship, a parent relationship with a child is often like, okay? I'm not going to take answers on this one. I'll suggest a few. You'll probably think of a few more. But if you are a parent and your relationship with your child as a baby or an infant, they are needy. They are dependent, right? They're incapable of doing anything for themselves. They completely depend on you. When it's a baby, when it's an infant, when they come to the point of being toddlers and elementary students, they're sometimes whiny, they're adventurous, they're playful, but that's all they want to do is play. You got the terrible twos, and then comes 3, 4, 5, and 6, you know, right after that. So your relationship as a parent is working through that. As middle schoolers, unfocused, distracted, resistant sometimes, questioning. They're starting to question everything. They're forgetful, sometimes irresponsible. Okay, and in high school, you might even get to the point where you have kids who are rebellious and independent and sarcastic, and they're not just questioning everything, but they're pushing back on everything. Right? Just no, those aren't all the attributes, but think of those. Like, does any of that sound like us as followers of Jesus? Right? Do those things describe your devotional life a little bit? Your prayers to God? Right? Like, arrogant? Do I have the right reasons? Listening? I'm not listening. I'm distracted. The to-do lists. All over the place. How often do we spend time in prayer and our attention spans are like non-existent? Right? We're spiritual ADD. We start in prayer, we wander off into all those things that we have to do. Sounds like the prayers of a child, doesn't it? But here's what I want to encourage you with. Our primary relationship with God is supposed to be as children. Okay, He knows that about us. He knows those struggles we're going to have in prayer. He knows all of it. He expects us to be like children. And yet He still wants us to come to Him. Why? Because we're His kids. He loves us. So your primary relationship to God is as His child, and as His children, or as His child, He still wants you to come to Him. Right? He still wants you to come to Him. When a child ignores their parent, or disregards their parent, resists their parent, even rebels against them, I mean, as a parent, that would be frustrating, right? But you still love them. You still want them to come back to you. Think of the story of the prodigal son, right? Son leaves home, wastes his entire inheritance on living in the world, and is in desperate situation, so he comes crawling back home, just hoping to be a servant, to get enough to eat and to survive. And his father embraces him, and he welcomes him back. He gives him the good clothes. He throws the party. And he's been watching and waiting all along for his son to come home. Now, when I think of that, I think of, like, my daughters, Kayla and Megan, my oldest two, are off at college. Right? And whenever they come home, they bring their laundry. Right? Now, they're pretty responsible kids, and they do their own laundry when they're at home. I couldn't do it because I don't do it the right way, according to my wife. But they do, and it's the way it works. So they do their own laundry. They're maybe not stereotypical, but you can think of the stereotypical example of the college student who comes home, and they show up maybe as a surprise. They've been gone for a few weeks. Parents didn't know they were coming, and they show up at the door, and they open the door, and they're carrying their laundry basket. As a parent, are you like, what are you doing? Why are you bringing your laundry home? No, you're just happy they're there, right? You're just happy that they're there. You're not going to turn them away. And now, hopefully, our relationship with God gets beyond us just coming to Him carrying a laundry basket all the time, right? But He's still glad to see us regardless of the reason. So don't be afraid to come home. Don't be afraid to come to Him. Bring the dirty laundry with you if you need to, and we all have it. So let's come to Him. Our primary relationship to God is as His child, and as a child, He wants you to come to Him. So that's the first thing. And I mention that just by way of encouragement, because I think so many times we feel like we can't. You know, yeah, we know the story of the prodigal son, but you know, we know that's telling us we're supposed to come home, but we're supposed to reconnect with Him, but, you know, we're scared to do so, or we're resistant to do so. God wants us to come to Him. Okay, second idea, and this is the other thing that I want to just talk to you about this morning to hopefully encourage is, first of all, prayer is not a formula, it's about a friendship, right? Our prayer, and you probably know this, right? But it should encourage you that the disciples were with Jesus for a couple of years in His ministry. He was, they were following Him, they were with Him, and they needed help knowing how to pray. Right? It just didn't come easy. So before He taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 7. He says, when you pray, do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, the non-Jewish people, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. Okay? Prayer is not a formula, he's saying. It's not something you just repeat over and over in a meaningless way. The other religions and their false gods, that's what they do. But not so with you. Right? When you talk to the one true God, the one who really exists, pray from the heart. Pray from the heart. And then he says this, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Think about that for a minute. If he knows what we need before we ask him, but he wants us to talk with him anyway, what is it he really wants? He wants us. Right? He wants our friendship. He wants our relationship with him. So when you pray, talk to Jesus as you would a friend or anyone else, because that's who he is. Prayer is not about a formula, it's about a friendship. Now, practically speaking, it can help to take a moment and think about what you'd like to pray for before you actually do. You know, and Jesus taught the disciples, he gave us this model then that passes on to us for how to pray. Verse 9, it says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right now, we know that is the Lord's Prayer. It's interesting that right before he gave the Lord's Prayer, he said, don't pray a bunch of meaningless words. So what do? We take those words, we memorize them, we say them over and over a billion times in our life without thinking about what we're saying. Right? We did the exact opposite of what Jesus said to do. But the point is he's like, look, it's not a formula, it's a friendship, but here's how you should pray. In this way, in this manner, in this fashion, not necessarily with these words. Okay, so he didn't make it that complicated. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray for your needs. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for his guidance. But remember, it's about a relationship with your Father. Right? It kind of goes back to that first point. He says, pray our Father who is in heaven. There's a relationship. Our primary relationship with God is as his child. So when you pray, pray from the heart. Like once more with feeling. Right? So we're going to take a second moment this morning. And I'm not going to ask you about this one afterwards, but I want to take a few more moments of prayer. And kind of in the same spirit of what Jesus talked about, not wanting to make our words a formula, but wanting to connect with him in relationship, I want to give you a second, though, to think about some things that you might want to pray for. So as we talk about being distracted, not knowing what to pray, going all over the place, that sort of thing, I'm going to give you three things and ask you to pray for or about those three things, okay? First thing, you can think about what these are as I mention them to you, things you're thankful for, okay? Things you're thankful for. Second, things going on in your family. It could be your immediate family, those in your house right now, or your extended family. So things you're thankful for, things going on in your family. Again, could be good, could be bad. And then the third thing, a difficult person in your life or difficult people in your life. Right? So those are the three things I'm going to encourage you to pray for. Just as Jesus gave some things, some ways to pray, think about those three things, and then we're going to spend some more time in prayer. So things you're thankful for, things going on in your family, and a difficult person or people. All right, let's take some time and pray. I don't know about you. I had a chance to do something like this in a different setting with a bunch of pastors and also here this morning. But I know sometimes when we just jump into, let's take time to pray, we're all over the place. But give ourselves just a couple of things that we can say, in my time of prayer, I'm going to pray for these few areas of my life or these few areas of things that are going on in the world around me. It gives us an opportunity to kind of focus in and really hear God in a different way and really keeps us a little bit more on track. Maybe that will be helpful for you. I hope that it is. As you try to engage in your personal times with Jesus, give some thought. What is it that I need to pray for? What is it that I need to focus in on today and take that to him? So prayer, it's about our relationship with God, right? We are primarily his children, and it's not a formula, it's about a relationship. I just want to close with this thought, and actually if the worship team wants to come up, you can do that right now. In Revelation, we get this picture of this incense that's being burned in these golden bowls. And it's explained in Revelation that the picture here is that this incense is like the prayers of the saints. And don't be thrown by saints. That's not talking about some special elevated status being who lived a great life and is better than us. When it talks about saints in Scripture, it's talking about those who believe in Jesus. That's you and that's I. Me. It's you and that's me, right? But the picture is of these prayers. And if you think about incense, there's kind of only one purpose, really, for this incense that's being burned. It's for the one who's going to smell it, right? It's to be a pleasing aroma to the one who's going to benefit from it. Our prayers, in many ways, as the Scripture shows, are like that. We're offering them to him. And it's a pleasing aroma to him. Even those prayers that are chaotic and, you know, struggling and squirrel and, you know, hard to stay focused and am I doing this right? Even those prayers are an aroma to him. They're pleasing to him. The chaotic prayers, the scattered prayers, the broken prayers, he wants to hear them. So let's not be afraid to take those to him. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to come to him again and again, even when it's hard to do, even when we really don't want to, even when our heart doesn't seem like it's all that in it. But we're his kids. He loves us. Even if we're coming with a basket full of laundry, he wants us to come to him once more. We're going to end our time in worship. And I want to just invite you to stand as we worship and ask God to meet us in this place. And in the place that we're at once again as we sing this song. We've got a few songs of worship left. Let's worship him this morning.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.